Take your Bible and be finding the book of Exodus, chapter 13. The book of Exodus, chapter 13. While you're turning, let me say it is my joy to be here tonight. It really is. I have enjoyed the congregation singing. Music ought to be more than entertainment. It should point you to the one that we owe everything to, and it has tonight, and it just encouraged my heart. I was blessed by the songs and singing them, and then hearing you behind me sing. I like to be around folks that'll just sing, and I could hear you, so I've enjoyed that. Again, it's certainly my blessing to be here. It's been a joy to meet your pastor, and we're so thankful for every opportunity. My wife, Sherry, down here, she's just wave your hand. I am so thankful for that Sunday night when she walked up to me and asked me if I would marry her, and I've been so thankful for that. We grew up in the mountains of North Carolina. I'm a hillbilly, and got one leg shorter than the other, but we're so thankful for the journey the Lord's had us on. For the past 13 years, we served on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota. We lived on the reservation for 13 years. It was a wonderful experience. I don't think we'll ever forget the years that we spent there, and even more amazing, what we saw the Lord do there. It was amazing. Pine Ridge, the reservation there, of course, all Native American reservations, they all have the same issues, and they all have the same problems, alcohol and meth and all those things. But Pine Ridge is kind of the epitome of them all. The county that we lived in is the poorest county in the United States, and Oglala Lakota County. And so with the poverty, creates so many other problems and so many other issues. And so you just Google Pine Ridge and you'll be amazed at the things that you will read about it. But in the most unlikely place, we saw the Lord raise up a people. We saw Him build a church. It was the most amazing part of our journey. I am thankful for every mile of my journey, but I will always cherish those 13 years on the reservation. We turned it over to another missionary back in May, and so we are just traveling wherever the Lord opens the doors for us, and we're just grateful for every opportunity. Again, we're thankful to be with you tonight, and we're enjoying the Houston area. I have discovered one thing that could really help the state of Texas and the city of Houston, probably eliminate property taxes. And that's just quit making speed limit signs, because they don't mean one thing down here, do they? So you're spending thousands and millions of tax dollars to make signs that nobody pays attention to. So I have found when you pull out, you don't ease out, you fire out. That's how you get out here in Texas. But we've enjoyed it. Be here for several weeks. Be with Brother Jackson in Cold Springs next week, up in Jasper, and then back down here for the missions conference at Parkwood. So we're enjoying our time down here. But again, Pastor, thank you so much for allowing me to come. I want you to look in Exodus chapter 13, and I want to draw your attention to a particular object that was very familiar to the children of Israel. I was reading about this a few weeks ago, and my heart was drawn to this particular object. It's found in verses 21 through 22. And there we read about a pillar of fire and a cloud by day. And when we read these, we read of the reason God gave this pillar to the children of Israel. It was to provide them guidance. Now, I think you would all agree with me, we need guidance in our life, don't we? We need the Lord's direction. And God has given us a pillar, or pillars, as we'll see in a moment. But I want us to learn a few things tonight about the pillar that led them all the years they are in the wilderness. If you'd like to stand and honor the reading of His Word, we'll read verse 21 and verse 22. And I want us to think about the matter of how He leadeth me. I think of the old hymn, He Leadeth Me. And we're reminded in the pillar of fire and the cloud that He does lead us. Exodus 13, verse 21, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud. Notice, to lead them in the way. And by night in a pillar of fire. Why? To give them light to go day by day. And He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Thank you. May be seated. For just a little while, I'll share with you a few thoughts, and I'll not be long, I promise you. I often say, just because I lived on an Indian reservation, I'm not going to take you hostage and scalp you tonight, all right? But I'll get you out of here soon. But I want us to think about the Lord leading us. Let's pray. Father, it's such a joy to be here. I've already enjoyed being in the service. My heart has been warmed. I sense the good spirit that exists here, not only in this pastor, but in this people. And we thank You, Lord, for what You have done for them, how You are blessing them. It's very obvious that Your hand is upon this place. I know that the people have not gathered here tonight just to have a service, or just to be entertained, or just to occupy time. We've come to hear from You. And so I pray tonight that You would speak to us and take Your word, a familiar object in the Bible, lift it from its pages of the past and make it real in our lives this very night. We need You. We need Your guidance. And so teach us tonight about being led by You. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Joseph Gilmore was a pastor in the Philadelphia area. And he preached one day from Psalm 23. As he was preaching from Psalm 23, he read that statement, excuse me, He leadeth me. And his heart was gripped by that particular statement, He leadeth me. After the service, he went to a deacon's home and they sat down, and all afternoon they just discussed the matter of God leading them. Even while they talked, he took out a piece of paper and he wrote down some words that he later set to music. The old hymn, He Leadeth Me. Oh, blessed thought. Oh, words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. I think you would all agree with me tonight that we need God's guidance and direction in our lives. They are decisions that we must make often in life. And many times as we are facing decisions in our life, there is uncertainty about what we should do, what is right, what is wrong. Maybe as you're facing a changing of a job or a church or going to school or whatever it may be, I think you would agree with me, we need guidance and we need direction. We need God's guidance and we need God's direction. That's exactly what we have when it comes to the pillar that you find in the scripture that I read. God led the children of Israel, and He led them through a pillar. We read in verse 21, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud. Why? To lead them the way. And by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go day by day. The pillar, as you know, was a symbol of the presence of God among the people. It was a column that descended down upon the tabernacle and the children of Israel. The word pillar that is used here literally means a column. As a pillar by cloud during the daytime, it was a pillar of fire by night. I've often tried to visualize this pillar in my mind. I've seen some paintings and some pictures of this huge funnel narrowing its way down right above the most holy place. But it had to be an amazing thing to see. This pillar of cloud by day, this pillar of fire by night, as it overshadowed the people and overshadowed the camp. It was a 40-year theophany. A theophany, the word meaning a visible manifestation of the presence of God. The Shekinah glory of God. God making himself and showing himself and revealing himself in some form. It was a 40-year manifestation of the presence of God that columned its way down upon the camp every day. They never had to wonder, is God with us? All they had to do was look up. During the daytime, they would see that pillar of cloud, and at night, that pillar of fire. A supernatural phenomenon. There have been many that have tried to make it some kind or tried to explain it naturally. One writer I read was talking about how as they would travel, they kicked up dust in the desert and it created this pillar. Another talked about volcanic activity. I even read one writer who said that to the superstitious Israelites, it no doubt appeared as a sign from God. It's no doubt that it appeared. It was God manifesting himself and showing himself and revealing himself to the children of God. Again, what an amazing sight it must have been to have this pillar, this column that was visible day and night to the children of Israel. Nehemiah 9 verse 12 said, "Moreover, thou leddest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire to give them light in the way wherein they should go." It was God's manifested presence given to guide them, to give them direction in their life. It has been said that God is not merely a character in the divine drama of redemption. He is both author, producer, and director. He is the one that is guiding our life and leading us. Well, let's look at it tonight, just for a few moments. And I'm going to set before you three simple things or three simple lessons about this pillar that led them and how God guides our life. The first thing that I want to say about this pillar is that it brought them guidance that was definite. It provided them guidance that was definite. Verse 21, lead them. The word lead simply means to guide. For guidance in their life, all they had to do was look up. All they had to do was to look up and they would know what they were to do. They would know where they were to go. They would know even when they were to move. It was there to lead them, to guide them. And by this pillar, God gave them guidance, clear, concise, distinct, discernible, and very definite guidance. They would know very definite, this is what God wants us to do. Well, can I say tonight that we can look up to our God as well and find guidance that is not only discernible, but guidance that is definite. We can know this is what God wants me to do. We can know what is right. We can know what is wrong. We can be very definite in knowing this is the will of God for my life. Of course, the pillar was very unique to the experience of the children of Israel. But we have our own pillars as well that we look to for guidance in our life. For example, take the Word of God, this Bible that I have tonight. It's not just any book. This is the Word of God. This is a book that I can open and I can begin to read in Genesis 1:1 and read all the way through the Revelation 22:21, knowing that every word is God's word. It's not one single word in there that shouldn't be there. It's not one word missing that should have been there. This is the Word of God. And this is how God guides us. It is our pillar of guidance. What am I to do in life? What is the direction I am to take in life? I come to His Word, and there I find guidance. The psalmist said, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The Bible gives us the laws of heaven for life on earth. Again, if I am to know what I am to do, I have His blessed Word. And I come to the Bible to find God's guidance. The Bible is more than a museum, a piece to admire. It is more than a book to make a theologian out of you. It is a book to give us guidance every day of our life. A living book that is to impart wisdom to every one of us. I have the Word of God. It guides me. I also have the Spirit of God. John talked about and called Him the Spirit of Jesus, referred to Him as the Spirit of Truth in John 16:13. And He spoke of Him as Spirit of Truth, and He made this statement, "He will guide you in all truth." Can I say tonight, the Spirit of God will never lead you contrary to what has already been said in the Word of God. Sometimes I think we go by emotions and we interpret that as the voice of God or the voice of the Spirit of God. I've heard people all of my life say, "God told me to do this." It's very obvious there wasn't no God in it whatsoever. It was more emotion. And how far, what folly it is to listen to our own emotions and to our own feelings. No, the Spirit of God, He will lead us and He will always lead us in the right way. He abides within me tonight. What an amazing thought that the Spirit of God lives within us. He is there to speak to and to say, "I need guidance. Help me to know what is right. Help me to know what is wrong." If the Spirit of God speaks to you, you'll know it. There's no misunderstanding of when He speaks. It's not just my ideal of what I think I ought to do. It's not my emotions or my leanings that are directing me to do something. When the Spirit of God speaks to you, you will know. I remember years ago when I was pastoring in the Chattanooga area, we had a man in our church named Luther Jones. And his wife had been a charter member of our church for over 60 years. She had joined the church when she was just a girl. Luther, we had tried all those years, and she had tried all those years to get Luther in church. He's a good man. He'd do anything in the world for you. Problem was, he just wasn't saved. And he wouldn't come to church. I don't know how many times I visited him or my wife spoke to him or others down through the years had tried to get Luther saved and tried to lead him to the Lord and tried to get him to come to church, but to no avail. All those years. I remember one day I was actually mowing the yard. There's been a few times in my life when the Spirit of God spoke to me and I knew that was the Spirit of God. Again, we often say it so flippantly, "God told me to do this." No, there's been a few times in my life when God spoke to me and I knew He was speaking. That particular day I was mowing the yard. I was about halfway done. And Luther, he was in the hospital at the time. He was in intensive care. And I remember I was mowing, and all of a sudden God said, "Go see Luther." And I thought to myself, let me finish the yard. When I get done with the yard, I'll clean up, and then I'll go over to the hospital and check on Luther and see how he's doing. And so I mowed just a little bit, and again God said, "Go see Luther now." I knew he was speaking. I just shut the lawnmower off and went in there and run a rag over my face and got in the car and drove to the hospital and walked into the room where he's at in intensive care. Barbara, his wife, was sitting there. She said, "Hey, Brother Ken, how are you?" I said, "I'm fine." I said, "Luther, how are you feeling today?" And we talked for just a few minutes. And then I looked at Luther and I said, "Luther, don't you think it's time to get saved?" And I remember them big old eyes of his just filled up with tears. He said, "Yeah, I do." After all those years, and I said, "Luther, I'd like to show you how to be saved. Would you like me to show you how to be saved?" He said, I'll never forget, he said, "I'd just as soon you do it as anybody." And I said, "All right." And God saved him that afternoon in intensive care. Such a change in his life. He never got to come home. All he talked about was going to church, but he never got to come home. But I'm talking about the Spirit of God leading us, listening to him. Do you need guidance? Do you need to know what to do? You have a book. It's the Word of God. It's God's pillar to give you guidance. There is the Spirit of God that lives within you to guide you. I could add the peace of God. Paul talked about let the peace of God rule in your heart. That word rule there speaks of an arbiter or a director. Its translation would come out in our English language to an umpire. And you know what an umpire is? You play baseball, and the pitcher throws that ball, and you're standing over, and that umpire goes, "Strike!" Or you come sliding into home plate, and he says, "Safe!" Or you're out. The peace of God is to be an arbiter. It is to be an umpire in our heart. We do things and all of a sudden we're troubled. That's that peace of God saying, "Out!" Or we do something and it fills us with joy. That's that umpire within us, the peace of God saying that you're safe. You see, God guides us, and the pillar gave them definite guidance. They didn't have to wonder, should I move today, or should I stay here today? What should I do? When should I move? There was definite guidance in their life, and God gives us the same kind of guidance. Not only was there guidance that was definite, but you'll also see that it was daily. Guidance that was not only definite, but it was also daily. Verse 24, "He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." He took it not away. Every hour, every day, every month, every year, for 40 years, that pillar was a constant presence and a visible reminder that God was with him. They didn't have to wonder, "Do we pack up today?" It told them when to pack up. They just had to look to the pillar. There was daily guidance in their life. And we need the same. There's not only guidance in our life for major decisions we make, but every day we need God to guide us and lead us. Now, daily guidance calls for a couple things. For one, there has to be a complete, a continual, perpetual reliance. Where they camped depended on the pillar. When they moved depended on the pillar. And when they moved to where they were to move was directed by the pillar. There was no act of movement that was engaged unless they were guided by the pillar. Their daily life was dictated by this column, this pillar. Therefore, there was a daily reliance on this pillar to give them guidance. Not only did it give them definite guidance, clear guidance, but it gave them daily guidance. Just like the psalmist said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. It says our steps, not our strides. It's our steps. And steps suggest just one step at a time, moment by moment, day by day. And so the steps of a man, his daily walk, is directed by the Lord. We need His guidance daily. And it requires there be reliance on our part. That, Lord, I'm going to put my life in Your hand now. You guide me. We began the day seeking His face or looking to Him. Lord, I need You today. It's not a day in our lives we don't need Him, is there? But we look to Him and there is this reliance. God, You lead me today. You guide me today. Help my steps to honor and glorify You. A lamp that is used there and spoke about, he talked about Psalm 119, Your word is a lamp unto my feet. That lamp was a little bitty handheld lamp. It was not a lamp that illuminated the whole area around the one that is traveling. It didn't shine way down the road. It was a little handheld lamp. Basically, all it was doing was giving light for each step that he would take. And the ideal is that I need his light for each step that I take in my life, that I need not only definite guidance, I need daily guidance in my life. It required perpetual reliance, continual looking to him. But it also involved punctual obedience. They were not to make a move until the pillar moved, but when the pillar moved, there was no arguing about it. Well, I don't feel like packing up today. That was never the issue. When the pillar moved, they moved. And there was prompt obedience on their part. Never question why we move today. They never question where we are moving today. No, the only thing that's required was to rely upon Him guiding them and then obey Him when He led them. He'll lead you daily if you allow Him. If you will not obey Him, then He can't lead you. But if you'll look to Him every day of your life and you'll listen to Him and you're obedient to Him, He will direct your paths. So there is guidance that was definite. There is guidance that was daily. But let me sum it all up with this one thought. This definite guidance and this daily guidance was divine guidance. Of course, everything I've already said about it insinuates that it was guidance that was divine, or God was doing the guiding. But what I want to emphasize is the fact that it is God who does the guiding in our life. As the hymn writer said, Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine, content whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. I cannot exaggerate tonight the importance of divine guidance in our lives. Divine guidance in our life is a church. I've seen too much over the years where we thought we had to act like the world. We had to be bankers or whatever to do God's work or whatever. No, we have to use sense and be wise in what we do. But the bottom line is, what is it that God is wanting us to do? That is the heart of what we are here for. That God, You guide us, a church or as a believer. I cannot exaggerate how important it is for divine guidance in our life. Why? Because I have learned, and I'm sure many of you have, the recklessness of human discernment. The recklessness of our own decision making. Augustine prayed, without You, what am I to myself but a guide to my own destruction? Nothing is more reckless than to let our emotions move us. We're emotional creatures, aren't we? I grew up in the mountains of North Carolina. Somebody said amen. It says amen. It don't scare me. I grew up in mountain churches. I've been in every kind of service you can think of. I've seen them run around the building with offering plates on their head. I've seen them run through the baptistry. I've seen them jump out windows. I've seen everything. I grew up in mountain churches. I grew up around those old camp meetings in Western North Carolina. I'm not against emotion. But sometimes our emotions get us in trouble, don't they? How often we allow ourselves to be guided by our own emotions. You're familiar with Proverbs and what Solomon said. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thy own understanding. How easy it is to sit down and think things through and say, I believe this will be a good move for us. It'll mean more money. It'll do this. It'll give us all these things. I believe it'll be good. But the bottom line is, what does God say about any move we make in our life? I've seen families leave churches and go somewhere for a better job, and the last thing they ever considered was, will I have a place to go to church and worship God? Will I have a good church where a pastor will teach me the Word of God and preach to me what is right, where I can bring my family up under the nurture and admonition of the Lord? That rarely ever crosses their mind. It's a bigger paycheck. Lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Oh, the folly of us following our own understanding. The recklessness of doing what we think is right. I appreciate men of wisdom. And I appreciate those who are wise, and I look to them and I seek their advice. But even at the very best, we are all human. That's why we need definite guidance. We need daily guidance. Guidance that is divine. Because of the recklessness of our human discernment. But there is the opposite side. There's the faithfulness of heavenly direction. This is one thing I have learned. God has never led me wrong. He leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought that in all those years and all these years that I have listened to him, he has never led me astray. He has never led me in anything that hurt me. But it always was to my benefit. Oh, there is the faithfulness of his direction. I love this story about the missionary Barnabas Shaw, who served in Africa for the biggest part of his life. Barnabas Shaw was influenced by David Livingstone and others, and God so burdened his heart that he left Scotland to go to Africa. And he went to Africa, went to Cape Town, which is the southern part of Africa. He went to Cape Town in 1816 with the objective of starting a church in Cape Town, only to be forbidden to preach when he got there. He had left everything. Him and his wife had traveled for months on a ship to get to a place where he felt like God wanted them to go, to get there and find out they will not let him start a church. And they will not let him preach. So you can imagine, they're just, what do we do? He bought him a pair of oxen and a little cart. They put all of their earthly belongings in the back of that little cart. And they sat down in the seat and took each other by the hand and said, and asked God to guide them. And then he turned the reins of both the cart and the oxen over to God. He just let the oxen go. Take him wherever they would go. For weeks and weeks and weeks they traveled, day after day. They traveled further and further into the interior, just letting the ox go wherever they wanted to go. one night they camped and they overheard just over a little dune ridge voices. After months of traveling into the interior of Africa. And so when they investigated, to their astonishment, they found a group of people from a tribe that was on their way to Cape Town to find a missionary who would teach them the great word, as they expressed it. He often would tell the story. He said, if I had gone a mile to this way, or they had traveled a mile that way, we would have never met. But he had turned the reins over to God. And they met out in the middle of nowhere, and he would spend his life serving those people. Don't you think we need to turn the reins of our life over to him? We've held on him so tight. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do what I want. I don't care what the preacher says. I don't care what anybody says. I am in charge. What folly that often turns out to be. But oh, when we let loose of the reins and say, dear God, here they are. You lead me. You guide me. The blessings that come. He leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought. Oh, words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, tis God's hand that leadeth me. Maybe you're here tonight and you've been praying about what you should do. There's a pillar to guide you. And there is guidance that is definite, daily, and divine. Let's stand. Our Father tonight, in Jesus' name, oh, thank you for leading us. Lord, don't help me. I speak for myself, Lord. Let me listen to you. So many times, Lord, I have made my own decisions and would live to regret them. But I have never regretted one moment that I gave you the reins. Maybe somebody here tonight needs guidance. They're praying about what to do. Guide them. Lead them. May they look to you for guidance. Bless these moments together in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor, you come and